Amen. As I said, I was preparing a number of messages for a series of youth meetings that we've been asked to conduct starting tomorrow week in one of our neighboring churches. And each night I will be looking at a different young person from the scriptures. And during the week that has gone by, I was preparing a message on Timothy. And I would entitle the theme, Timothy, a young man's salvation. You see, as we read what the Apostle Paul says about Timothy in some of his epistles, and then some other information is given to us about him in the book of Acts and some of Paul's other writings in the New Testament, we discover much about this man, Timothy, and we discover that he was saved. He became a Christian when he was of a young age. And while I want to apply the message to everyone tonight, I have to say that the best time to become a Christian, in fact, the Bible exhorts you to become a Christian and give your life and your heart to Christ, turn away from your sin and believe in Him when you are young. Was the wisest man that ever lived apart from Christ? Referring, of course, to Solomon. Solomon, at the end of his life, penned the book of Ecclesiastes. And he wrote these words in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not. And Solomon's exhortation, looking back on his long life. And Solomon, he gave his life to the Lord when he was young, and he backslid in his middle years, and then he returned to the Lord. And he could say, looking back, the advice that he would give to young people: remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You should be saved. You should give your heart and life to the Lord when you're young in life. And there are a number of reasons for that. You see, none of us know when we're going to have our souls called out into eternity. As I read my Bible, I discover that it's not only old people that die, but young people die as well. You think of the life of Christ. The three people that He raised from the dead, they weren't old men or old women who died. They were younger folk. You think of Jairus' daughter, just a little child around 12 years of age, and she died. And only for the Lord being present to raise her from the dead. She died at 12 years of age. Think of that young man the Lord met, the funeral procession. They were coming out of the city of Nain, and a widow, a mother, burying her son. We often hear it said, it shouldn't be like that. It should be the son or the daughter burying their mother or father. But this woman was burying her son. He was obviously just a young man. Yet he had died. And if in the providence of God, Jesus had not met that funeral procession, he would have been buried, but the Lord raised him from the dead. You think of Lazarus. He was a mature man, but he still was relatively young. And he died in the ministry of Christ. Tells us that we are not guaranteed a long life on this earth. We do not know what a day will bring forth. You think of the young man that died on Elijah's day and he raised him. The young man that died on Elisha's day. These evident miracles prove that people can die young. And therefore, I say to everyone in this meeting, you should give your heart and life to Christ now if you have not already done so. But to the young people, the best time to be saved is when you're young. You don't know how long you will have on this earth. There's another reason why people should give their lives to Christ when they're young, and that is that as we read the Bible, we discover that men and women who achieved great things for God, whose lives counted for God, who became men or women of great faith. They were converted young in life. David was only a stripling of a lad, a teenager, when he slew Goliath. Joseph was only 17 years of age when he proclaimed the word of God to his brothers, and they hated him and sold him into slavery. But he went on to become the ruler of Egypt, even still at just a young age, the young age of 30 or so. And men who achieved great things for God, they gave their lives to Christ when they were young. I believe the same could be said about Timothy. Timothy, as we will see at the end of the message, went on to be a great servant of the Lord. And what we discover is that he came to the Lord at a young age. And the Bible has much to say about his testimony. And in the closing moments of this gospel meeting tonight, I want to leave Timothy's testimony with you and apply it in the gospel. And there are three main thoughts that we want to look at about this young man who was saved as a youth. I want you firstly to consider the privileges that he enjoyed. We had read for us, Emma Jean read 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Paul writing to Timothy, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." From childhood, Timothy was taught the holy scriptures. And in this verse, you will see that there is a great title given to the Word of God. They're called the Holy Scriptures. I used to sing a little chorus when I was a child. The best book to read is the Bible. The best book to read is the Bible. If you read it every day, it will help you on your way. The best book to read is the Bible. And the Bible can be summed up in that little phrase. The Bible is the Holy Scriptures, or the sacred writings. Young people tonight, I want you to remember, wherever you go in life, whatever you do in life, take the Bible with you. Because the Bible is not the work of man. It is not a collection of the writings of man. It is not the opinions of a group of religious Jews put together over many hundreds of years. No, the Bible is the Word of God. Peter, writing in 2 Peter 1 and 21, he said, "Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Whether it was Moses or Joshua or Samuel or Isaiah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets or the apostles, they didn't just sit down and write their own thoughts and ideas. No, the Holy Ghost inspired them and moved them to write the very words. And in fact, in the original Greek, that phrase would convey that the very letters themselves were inspired. The Spirit gave the man the very words to pen and to write. And it was the Word of God that Timothy was taught and knew from a child. Let me say to you Christian adults and parents, teach your children the Bible. It's the best thing you can teach them. Yes, we have a great title here. Timothy was taught the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. But you'll see in the Scriptures there's a great topic. For it tells us, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The central theme of the Bible is not the law. Now the law is important. The law leads us to Christ. The law teaches us that we cannot save ourselves, that we are unrighteous, that we're sinners. But the central theme of the Bible is not the law. The central theme of the Bible is not the prophets or the apostles. The central message of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the way of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And as we teach our children and our young people the Bible, it should lead them to a knowledge that God sent His Son into the world to take the burden and the guilt of sin and bear it on the cross to provide a way of salvation whereby He paid our debt. And He died to deliver us from sin and from destruction. Oh, the Bible reveals that man's greatest need is that his lost soul is saved. And the Bible reveals that it's only Jesus Christ who can save the soul. For there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. And the Word of God presents the message of salvation. Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? John chapter 5 and verse 39, they thought all their studying of the Old Testament had led them to the place where they kept the precepts of the ceremonial law and they lived an outwardly moral life and that would gain them favor with God. And all it did was build up that self-righteous pride that our brother spoke about this morning. And He said to them, the Lord Jesus in John 5 and 39, search the Scriptures. Search them. Oh, do we just glean over it for a few moments? Or do we get stuck into the Word of God and search it and learn it and meditate upon it? He said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye of eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. The Scriptures teach us and point us to Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior. That's what Timothy was taught. Oh, there's a great title, the Holy Scriptures. There's a great topic, the salvation that is in Christ. But then there's a great testimony, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. How did Timothy come to know the Scriptures as a child? I don't know about you. I remember back to my childhood days. I was brought up in a Christian home. I've testified of that before. But you know, the only time I ever read my Bible as a child was whenever my father would have read it to us, or when I would have attended the house of God and the church or Sunday school or something like that. I as a child never sat down and thought, I must read the Bible. I need to learn the Bible. And I think that Timothy, I'm assuming, but I think I'm in safe ground tonight. I believe that Timothy was probably the same. So who taught him the Scriptures? We may well ask that question. He knew the Scriptures from a child, but how did he learn them? Who taught him the Scriptures? Well, turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 5. Paul said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in me, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Timothy had a believing grandmother and a believing mother, Lois and Eunice. And I believe it is safe to say tonight that his grandmother and his mother taught him the Scriptures as a child. That's a great privilege. Let me say to every young person, every child in this meeting, maybe even an older person could look back to a mother, a father, a grandparent teaching them the Bible. That's a great privilege you should not despise. Because it's the Bible that leads us to salvation, that teaches us the greatest need that we have, our soul to be saved. And you should not despise that wonderful privilege. You know, I'm not going to turn to the passage tonight for the sake of time, but I read in Acts chapter 16, verse 1 and 3, that Timothy's father was a Greek. And the way it is worded in those verses would lead Bible commentators and preachers to conclude that his father was not a believer. And the point I want to stress to you is this, that there may have been a conflict, as it were, within the life of this young man. His mother and his grandmother teaching him the Scriptures, and yet there was someone else that was close to him who possibly was not a believer. And was there a pull in his life as to which way he should go? And maybe there are young people tonight and there's something of that type of pull in their lives. Because perhaps they have a Christian parent or Christian parents, but there may be others who have a place of influence. It may be friends, it may be other loved ones, it may be their peers, and they are pulling them in another way. And the question is this: what way will you go in life? Will you follow the faith of loved ones? Will you trust the Lord personally to be your Savior? Or will you follow a course in this world that would lead you to a lost eternity? I want to tell you tonight, it's a great privilege to be taught the Scriptures. Never frown upon it. Never frown upon mother and father, youth leader, Sunday school teacher, who takes time to open the Bible and to show you the way of salvation. For they have your eternal good at heart and they want your soul to be saved. That was the privilege that Timothy enjoyed. Then secondly tonight, I want you to consider the preacher that Timothy encountered. On three occasions, the apostle Paul described Timothy as his own son in the faith. 1 Corinthians 4 and 17, 1 Timothy 1 and 2, and then in that passage that Emma Jean read to us, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 2, he says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. And that suggests to us and leads us to believe that the apostle Paul was the one who led or pointed Timothy to exercise faith and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. That means that at some point in the early adulthood of Timothy, that he heard Paul preach the gospel. Not in the enticing words of man's wisdom. Not in the dead letter, as the Jewish teachers would often have preached or taught the Old Testament in, but rather Paul preached it with the power of God and with the Holy Spirit attending to it. And it would seem to be that at some point Timothy, hearing the Apostle Paul, listening to the powerful preaching of the gospel, was it the case that he remembered all that his grandmother and his mother had taught him? And he came forth and the Apostle Paul pointed him to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That seems to be the way of it. In relation to Timothy, his conversion, can I say that in hearing the Apostle Paul and Paul leading him to faith, Timothy's faith was saving faith. Paul describes him as his own son in the faith, and Paul, the faith that Paul preached was saving faith. Remember what he told the Philippian jailer that night in the dungeon there at Philippi? Now the earth shook and quaked, and the jailer thought all his prisoners had escaped and was going to take his own life. He thought that life would be not worth living if he lost his reputation with all the prisoners escaping. And Paul cried, do thyself no harm. And he said, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest your soul on Him. Trust on Him and the work that He performed and carried out on the cross of Calvary for the removal of your guilt, for the taking away, the forgiving, the cancelling of all your sin, and thou shalt be saved. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ and on Christ saves the soul. Let me tell the young people and all of you here tonight, it's faith in Christ that saves, not your family connections. Oh, Timothy could say of his grandmother, she was a woman who knew the Lord. And she brought me up well and gave me all the love I could want from a grandmother. My mother was a woman of God. She personally knew the Savior. But none of those things saved Timothy's soul. And you can be of the best evangelical stock. You can trace your parentage right back to the time of the Reformation, if it's possible to do. And yet, that in itself will never save your soul. It's faith in Christ, not family that saves. It's faith in Christ, not affiliation that saves. Timothy, I have no doubt, had affiliations with the best of people being brought up. But that did not rescue him from sin. It was faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me ask you tonight, I'm not asking you, have you been brought up in this church? I'm not asking you, do you come to the children's meetings and the youth meetings and all the other meetings in this church? I'm asking you, have you personally had that experience where as a sinner you've recognized your lost estate and condition, and you have personally put your trust and are resting in Jesus Christ to take away all your sin? Are you saved? Have you saving faith? That's the faith that Paul preached to Timothy. Not this faith that just there's a belief in God, and once you believe in God, you can really do anything else you want, for that's enough. No, that's just the head knowledge. It's a faith, a true saving faith in Christ. That's what Paul preached. And it was not only a saving faith, but it was a sincere faith. Do you notice that word in verse 5 of 2 Timothy? Chapter 1, when I call, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. What does it mean to feign something? It means to put on a show or a sham, to pretend. If something's feigned, it's, we would talk about a bluffer. It's just bluff. It's all show. But Paul knew Timothy's faith was not for show. Wasn't just to please his granny. Wasn't just to please his mother. He didn't put on his best suit and go to assemble with the Christians on a Sunday when they remembered the Lord's death and when they worshipped the Lord. And then during the week, he got away out with his workmates and he lived whatever way he wanted and he got involved in all the things of the world. That's a sham faith. And it won't avail in the day of judgment. And it won't avail in the great eternity. You know, there are many who want to feign their faith. They want to profess one thing on a Sunday and yet do something else every other day of the week. Do you remember? I don't have time to go into it. I'm not going to go into it tonight, for time is moving on. But the story of old Simon the sorcerer is told in Acts chapter 8. And when Philip came down to Samaria and he preached in the power of the gospel and many were converted, Simon thought, I'm missing out. I have to get involved in this. And he said he was a Christian. He said he trusted in the Lord and he even was baptized in the waters. And yet, whenever Peter came down, oh, he was exposed. And he said, listen, this gift of the Holy Ghost, I'll pay for it. And what did Peter say? Your money perish with you. Oh, he put on the show. He feigned it, but it wasn't true. Wasn't real and it wasn't genuine. Young people, older folk, don't try to put on the show. It'll take you to hell. But oh, Paul could say of Timothy, it's an unfeigned faith. It's a sincere faith. Have you that sincere saving faith? Have you sincerely come to Christ? And then it was a satisfying faith. For in verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 1 tells us, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. That's power over sin. Freedom. When we're saved, we're freed from the not only the penalty of sin, but the power of sin. Then he says he's given us the spirit of power and of love. The Spirit sheds abroad in our heart the love of Jesus Christ and of a sound mind, a knowledge of the gospel. And I want to tell you, there's no more satisfying thing. No more satisfying thing than to have deliverance from sin, the love of Christ in your soul, and a sound mind to know and understand the gospel. Remember as a young man when I got saved at 17 years of age, remember many a night coming home from the outreach endeavors of my local church, and it was as if the joy of the Lord was just filling up in my heart, and if you'd give me £1 million, I wouldn't have been any happier than I was of Jesus Christ as my Savior, and to be able to witness for Him. Have you got that satisfaction in Christ? The hymn writer said, I tried the broken cisterns, but the waters failed, and as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wheeled. Now none but Christ can satisfy. There's none other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee, have you experienced true saving faith? Sincere faith and satisfying faith. That's what Paul preached to young Timothy. Have you experienced it? There's one final thought. We have considered the privileges that Timothy enjoyed and the preacher that Timothy encountered. But I want to finish tonight with the path that Timothy entered. You see, when we read what Paul said about Timothy after he was saved, we discovered that while Timothy's salvation was in a moment of time, there was a time he believed, yet it led to a path and a life of service. I'm not going to turn to the passages, but just listen. Romans 16 and 21, Paul described him as his Timothy, as his work fellow. In Philippians 1 and verse 1, he described him as a servant of the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 2, Paul described him as a minister of the gospel. In 2 Timothy 4 verses 2 and 5, he described him as a preacher and as an evangelist. He said, preach the word, do the work of an evangelist. And what we discover is that when Timothy was saved, he gave his life to the Lord and he entered into a path of service for the Lord. I believe that not only every young Christian, but every Christian should come to the place in their life where they pray over the words of the Apostle Paul. Just after he was converted, we read in Acts 9 that he asked the Lord, what will thou have me to do? And in closing tonight, I say to the young people that are saved, will you be a work fellow for the Lord? Will you be a servant of God? If God calls you young man, will you be a minister of the gospel? Will you be a preacher or an evangelist? Will you ask the Lord, what will thou have me to do? Will you enter into a path of service? It may not be full-time service. The Lord may have something else for you to do, a career that will take you to meet people that He wants you to witness to. He wants you to speak to for the gospel. He may have a role for you in the local church as far as teaching or instructing others. But will you ask that question to the Lord in prayer? What wilt thou have me to do? And will you give your life to the service of the Lord? May the Lord bless His word tonight to all of our